Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
Rehoboam, the new king of Judah, knew that God Almighty didn't want him and his army to attack the 10 northern tribes of Israel, which had just established its own kingdom under the rulership of Jeroboam. A prophet of God had told Rehoboam and his soldiers that God was instructing them to return home, and this they obeyed. Rehoboam's loss of the northern tribes from his previous kingdom of 12 tribes came as a result of his refusal to make any concessions to the slavery-type demands that the common people were under. While he might have been living in good times with his super-rich peers and nobles, most of his people weren't. The division between the northern and southern tribes developed from the unfaithfulness of the Israelite leaders and people to the Lord their God. The tragic result of their collective disobedience occurred just as God had foretold through Moses that it would. Under the terms of God's covenant with the people, obedience to God would bring them abundant blessing, but disobedience would bring terrible trouble. Now that the Israelite nation had been divided into two kingdoms, God chose to continue his redemptive purpose for all sinful people of the world through King David's line from the kingdom of Judah. Yet God's plan didn't end his claims on all the tribes in the nation. Through faithful prophets and priests, God continued to challenge the people in all tribes about the idol worship that the kings had introduced into both kingdoms. And he condemned the low moral standards and unfaithfulness that came from their idolatry. In Judah, Rehoboam set his 28 sons to work on fortifying the cities of Judah and to make his much smaller kingdom strong. Today's Bible adventure drama starts toward the end of the 14th chapter in 1 Kings of the Bible.
For 3 years Judah prospered and was blessed. Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, was strong. For 3 years he and his people walked in the ways of David and Solomon.
Rehoboam, my husband and king, lovest thou me?
What a question to ask. Of course I love you. You're my wife.
But how much do you love me?
I loved you enough to marry you. I still do, in fact.
How can I be sure you didn't marry me just to make an alliance of blood with my father?
You want me to prove my love?
Will you?
What is it you want?
I'm a long way from home, my lord. I'm lonesome for some of the things I've had since childhood.
Such as?
Such as... I miss the gods of my father. For my sake, if you love me, erect a high place to my god that I may worship at his shrine. Please.
Well, I can't force you to give up your god and worship mine, so I... all right. Your high place will be erected.
Thank you, my darling husband.
Little by little, Rehoboam gave way to inherited weaknesses. He failed to give God credit for his success, and finally threw his influence wholly on the side of idolatry. He forsook the law of God, and all Israel followed him. In the 5th year of the reign of Rehoboam, Shishak, king of Egypt, gathered together a huge army and marched against Judah.
We haven't a chance against them, Your Majesty.
Well, surely they can't take our fortified cities.
They've already taken them, Your Majesty, easily, and even now approach Jerusalem.
What am I to do?
Your Majesty, in the antechamber await the elders of the tribes to see you, and with them is Shemaiah the prophet.
Well, show them in!
His Majesty the King grants an audience. You may approach the throne.
Lord,
tell me, and quickly, what the Lord hath to say about this invasion by the Egyptian king. Can he be stopped?
Thus saith the Lord to you, Rehoboam. Ye have forsaken me, and therefore have I permitted the king of Egypt, even Shishak, to invade your land and do unto thee what seemeth good to him.
Because I forsook God and worshipped idols?
Because of your many sins.
Oh. I have sinned, and the Lord God of Israel is holy and righteous. His will be done.
The king and the princes of Judah humbled themselves before God, and the people prayed and forsook their evil ways. Then came the word of God again to Rehoboam through Shemaiah the prophet.
O king, the word of God came again unto me, saying, Because the people of Judah have humbled themselves, therefore I will not destroy them, but will grant a measure of deliverance. Nevertheless, they shall be Shishak's servants, so they may know that if my commandments are not obeyed, the penalties of disobedience are sure.
Then God will not stop Shishak from invading Jerusalem?
No, your majesty. You forsook God. You led the people to forsake God. Israel must pay the penalty for her evil ways. Sometimes God delays the penalty for sin, but sooner or later the penalty must be paid.
During most of Rehoboam's 17-year reign, the people of Judah behaved almost as badly as the people of the 10 northern tribes of Israel. They too engaged in the detestable practices of the Canaanites by setting up pagan shrines and altars on every high hill to practice shrine prostitution. According to 2 Chronicles chapter 11, for the first 3 years of Rehoboam's reign, the people of Judah remained faithful to God Almighty. But after that, the people of Judah began to turn from the Lord and continued to do so. As a result of Judah's sins against God, God used the Egyptian king Shishak to come and punish them. Shishak wasn't related to the Egyptian princess that King Solomon had married, but he was the king who had given sanctuary to Jeroboam when fleeing for his life from Solomon during Solomon's last years of reign. Shishak came and invaded Judah with a huge army and soon captured Rehoboam's fortified cities before then moving on to Jerusalem. There Shishak plundered the temple of God and royal palace and took with him many valuable items, including the gold shields that King Solomon had made. During Shishak's invasion, the people of Judah immediately became distressed and humbled themselves before the Lord. As a result, the Lord saved them from total destruction. Despite God's warning to Rehoboam at the beginning of his reign that he wasn't to go to war with his fellow Israelites, it's recorded in the Bible that there was a continual warfare between Judah and Israel during both the reigns of Rehoboam and Jeroboam. What can we learn from the life of Rehoboam? Many of us would have liked to have been born into a rich family and had everything that we could have dreamt of. But Rehoboam's life is proof that riches don't necessarily build good character, integrity, or leadership qualities. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he came to the throne, in about 930 BC. He'd lived through the good years when his father Solomon had followed the Lord God's instructions faithfully. He'd also seen the slow decline of the nation toward the end of his father's reign. So why didn't he resolve to do better for his kingdom than his father had as Solomon approached his death? Following in his father's footsteps is no excuse for a leader not to make important changes to restore what was entitled to God and needing altering. In those days, the king's word was law, so it wasn't as though Rehoboam didn't have the authority to change the culture of Judah while he had the opportunity to do so. Because none of us is perfect, let's turn our attention to the leadership style of the Lord Jesus Christ. In a survey done with Christians of varying ages, the participants were asked about Jesus' life dealing with other people. The results showed that over half the answers gave Jesus' most highly valued traits as being compassion and love. How is compassion a leadership trait? It's an attitude of kind consideration that a Christian can't do without. Without love, we may claim to be Christians, but in reality, we're nothing. Love and compassion must lead the way. Our souls are drawn to the compassionate nature of Jesus because love was his motivating factor behind all he did. These days, Jesus remains as a compassionate intercessor of our prayers with his Father in heaven. One of the survey people said, "When everything else is said and done, only love will last. Love is the infrastructure of everything and anything worthwhile." Jesus summed up his teachings in just one sentence. Love God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Jesus could lead people because, quite simply, he genuinely loved them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, it says, "Meanwhile, these three remain, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love." The second most identified leadership qualities of Jesus were power and authority. The source of Jesus' authority came from his Father in heaven, and this enabled him to have the power to teach, forgive, love, and change lives. Because of Christ's complete reliance on God, he's been given by his Father the power to bring anything he wills to pass. Yet Jesus himself said that he came to earth to do his Father's will and not his own. Leadership is largely about authority, whether it be acquiring it, using it, or investing it in others. Leadership isn't about issuing orders. Instead, leaders should encourage followers to copy them through their conduct and the values which they hold dear, so that trained followers can act on their own to advance Christ's cause. Jesus primarily used his authority on earth to teach and inspire those around him to act in his name and for his sake. This is a brilliant strategy, as millions of people around the world some 2,000 years later still serve him for his sake. Jesus taught his disciples as they shared life together, and he succeeded in building them into future leaders of his church yet to be established. The Gospels in the New Testament confirm that Jesus shared his power with his 12 disciples and gave them power to heal all kinds of diseases, including authority over demons. Jesus' prayer life was also identified as another significant leadership quality. Prayer is where the battles of life are won and lost. Prayer still separates Christian leaders from all other types of leadership. We must remember that Jesus spent significant amounts of time praying to his Father, and we too can't be effective without significant time being spent in prayer. Jesus' personality gave transformational power among the people as they were drawn to him. Although many didn't understand what Jesus was always talking about, they still wanted to be near him. Jesus could have no quiet devotional time during the day because large crowds followed him wherever he went. The Holy Spirit remained fully evident in Christ's life and can be in ours too for the asking. The Holy Spirit brings a sense of peace and joyful communication into our hearts, despite our particular circumstances. We're glad to talk with Christ in prayer, and we live in hope that one day Christ's promise to bring all of his people to himself will be fulfilled forever. Humility was the fifth most identified leadership characteristic of Jesus in the survey. There's no doubt that Jesus was a humble servant. We all need humility. It's hard to even think of Jesus without thinking of humility. He lived it, spoke of it, and taught all about it. Humility is a must in our Christian lives. We cannot reach our potential until we have Christ's humility evident within us. But it certainly doesn't come naturally or in our own ability. We are all selfish human beings, and the only way we can learn selflessness and humility is by copying the life of Jesus and following the Holy Spirit's leading, teaching, and correction. Jesus certainly didn't seek to be a front-page celebrity or a widely known figurehead, but only to be humble in doing his Father's will. He never became too full of himself or spoke of his great self-importance in heaven or on earth. It was Christ's humbleness that made him such a great leader. Jesus defined greatness by the humble way that he served others. It's no easy calling to follow Jesus. Jesus said in Luke, "But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. As far as you are able, share with others what you have learnt about Jesus Christ." The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. If you'd like to receive a free booklet, then write to this station and ask for it. But be sure to print your name and address. Or you can write to John, Post Office Box 2370, Brookside Centre, Australia 4053. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. Those addresses again, John, Box 2370, Brookside Centre, Australia 4053. And the website, bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time.